Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev.
Well, the orders legitimately have a little bit of a rivalry now. That's what happens when you finally make the postseason for the first time in a decade. And when the Anaheim Ducks and the Edmonton Orders meet for the first time this coming season, it'll feel a lot different than it has in the past because, A, the Orders are competitive, and now there's a little natural animosity because the Ducks took something from the Orders. Chance to go to the Stanley Cup Final. Analyst for the Anaheim Ducks, Dan Wood, joins us once again. Dan, welcome back to the show. How's your offseason?
Going well. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, the Ducks, similar to the Orders, not a lot of massive moves for the teams that I guess you could say finishes the two top teams in the Pacific. And when you look at it right now, it's kind of hard to, at the start of the season, have anybody knocking off either the Orders or the Ducks to start the year as the 1-2 teams in the Pacific.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably a reasonable point. I'm a little puzzled, quite honestly, at those who seem to be underestimating San Jose. I still consider the Sharks to be right there with these teams. I know San Jose lost Patrick Marleau, obviously, but they've got some good young forwards. Tomas Hertl certainly could take a step up. So I think San Jose is still in the conversation as far as the top of the Pacific Division.
Okay. Now, the Ducks, lots of young players, mainly on their blue line, right? Like, that's what makes their blue line, I think, so attractive, is the fact that a lot of their best defenders are really young, specifically Hampus Lindholm and Cam Fowler, and then you go down the list. But when you look at the Ducks, and, you know, they finally didn't lose a Game 7 at home, so that's obviously a big step forward for them. But what does this team need to do, do you feel, to take that next step next year and get back to the Stanley Cup Final?
Well, that's a question that's been asked around these parts for quite a number of years now. And, it's an interesting one because clearly until this past season, it was the Game 7 bugaboo on home ice. That cost Bruce Boudreau his coaching job and resulted in Randy Carlyle returning to Anaheim. So last year, as you mentioned, they get over that hurdle, but then in the Nashville series, in the end, I think it was really just Nashville's depth stepping up, and that was the reason the Predators were able to win, because both teams had key injuries near the end of that series, certainly the Predators being without Ryan Johansson and Mike Fisher, the Ducks losing John Gibson in Game 6, not having him for Game 7, being without Patrick Eaves, who was hurt midway through the Edmonton series, didn't play again. And then Hampus Lindholm, Sammy Vatanen, and Ryan Kessler were all playing hurt, significantly so. But to their credit, the Predators had guys step up and get the job done to win that series, and that's where the Ducks failed. So I think depth is the key. The Ducks were able to re-sign Patrick Eaves. They gave Cam Fowler a big contract. He's going to be here now. Everyone knows that. I like the Ducks' look today much better than I did a year ago. Going into training camp last season, I thought they had several glaring holes, most notably up front. Right now, I think they're pretty deep. I think they can ice the lineup they want, and then there's always the possibility of adding someone else before the trade deadline. So in the end, though, you got to have not only your best players be your best players, but as the Predators proved, you have to have your lesser players step up when it counts most.
Dan Wood joins us. Dan, the biggest acquisition would be in goal with Ryan Miller. They've got young John Gibson. What kind of number do you think we will see for Ryan Miller under the game start category if Gibson stays healthy?
If everything goes according to plan and there aren't significant injuries or something of that sort, my hunch would be something along the lines of a 50-30 split. That'll depend, of course, on how each guy plays and who stays healthy and whatnot. But with a West Coast or even a Western Conference travel schedule, you're going to need a backup goaltender. John Gibson, the one knock on Gibson is he's had a history of injuries, missing significant chunks of the season every year of his career. So I think Ryan Miller's going to play plenty. I know I did an interview the other day, and someone said they foresee this potentially being a problem because Ryan Miller is used to being number one. I think there's plenty of ice time for both those guys. And, hey, if Ryan Miller outplays John Gibson, so be it. I mean, John Gibson has to earn his spot just like anyone else.
Interesting when you look at the Ducks cap situation. Their top six forwards, who we project to be Perry, Getzlaff, Kessler, Raquel, Silverberg, and Eves, are all under contract for this season and next year. And then the first one off as a UFA is Silverberg. But then you've got, you know, Vermette and Cogliano and Rasmussen and Wagner, a lot of their other guys. UFA's young Nick Ritchie, who I assume him and Cassie, they would sign no problem. Then on the back end, Bieksa and Boschman. Is this kind of the final hurrah for this group? And then you expect just because of UFAs that we could see three or four changes?
You know, a year ago, I probably would have said yes to that question. But I think one thing that really alters my thinking on that is the breakout season that Rickard Rakell had. You know, I didn't see that coming. And now I see a guy who, you know, can kind of take over as the top forward on this team from the Getzlaffs and the Perrys and even the Kesslers. Now, of course, you're going to need more than one guy, but you mentioned Nick Ritchie, and, you know, the Ducks have a couple of kids they're pretty high on, Sam Steele and Max Jones. So I think potentially, you know, the forward group, the young forward group is good enough that this team can remain a contender going forward. Certainly there's no question about the defense with the young guys that you mentioned. And with John Gibson still being a young goaltender, he's only 24. You know, if you have the forwards, I think you're going to be fine.
Dan Wood joins us. You mentioned Sam, young Sam Steele from Sherwood Park, who, of course, was just named captain of the Regina Pats. That announcement, like, I thought Anaheim's very good at not rushing players. Like, there was no chance that they really thought he was going to come into Anaheim this year. You know, he's a smaller player, highly skilled guy, that they expect him to go back to junior and go to the World Juniors, I would think.
I would expect that as well. You know, if he lights it up in training camp, maybe he gets a look at the start of the season. They did that with Rakell a number of years ago and then sent him back to junior in the Ontario League. So, you know, it's a possibility. I wouldn't expect that. But if Sam Steele earns that in training camp, you know, maybe he does get a few games before going back to Regina. And obviously the Pats, you know, they're thinking Memorial Cup. So it's a big year for Sam Steele in Regina, I would think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, the Ducks historically have rarely been that team. Cam Fowler, I guess, would be the one exception recently. You know, Hampus Lindholm, young guys who came in right away and played. Looking at the overall division, I always like to get an outsider's perspective, having seen the Oilers last season now, saw them in the playoffs. Obviously, with Connor McDavid, they're going to be a threat, no doubt. But where, you know, are the Oilers... you know, are they right with the Ducks? Do you think they're ahead of them because of McDavid? Where do you see them in comparison to the Ducks right now?
Well, honestly, Jason, I see them being pretty close, at least on paper. The one question I have about the Oilers is a lot of times young teams that rise the way the Oilers did last year, you know, sometimes they take a step back. I don't think anyone expected the Oilers to be as good as they were last year. That was something I heard, it seemed like every time the Ducks and the Oilers played, you know, the Edmonton media people just talking about, yeah, you know, we didn't really expect this soon, but it happened, and the Oilers deserve all the credit in the world for that. Now, you know, can they maintain that level where they're fighting for a division title? I think they certainly can, but if they didn't, if they slipped back and maybe you know, finished third in the division and still made the playoffs, I don't think that would be the end of the world. The Ducks have proven in past years that winning a division really gets you nowhere come Stanley Cup playoff time. I think the Ducks almost won the division last year by accident. Bob Murray has said the past couple of years after they lost to Chicago in 2015 in the Western Conference Final that he doesn't care a bit about winning a division title. He just wants to get in the playoffs and be ready to go at that point. But, you know, it's there for the taking at the end of the season, so of course you're going to try to win it. But it's not the ultimate. You just got to get there, and I certainly think the Oilers will be in the playoffs come April.
Yeah, I think it would be a major surprise if they weren't. Is there any team in the West that you see taking a step back significantly and going out of the playoffs from last year's eight?
You know, I saw something the other day about that, and it seemed the trendy pick to drop and maybe not make the playoffs, believe it or not, was the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, that is really hard for me to fathom, but clearly they are going to have some challenges. I think, you know, losing Nicklas Hjalmarsson is going to hurt them a lot. You know, getting Brandon Saad back is great, but, you know, you lose Artemi Panarin, and you have that division that is so good. I suppose it's possible. Now, am I going to put my money on that? No chance. Until someone proves otherwise, I think the Blackhawks are a playoff team. You know, some people might say San Jose. I alluded to that earlier. I certainly don't think that. I would also wonder about Nashville, though, because losing in the Stanley Cup final is a really difficult thing to bounce back from. And remember, they barely made the playoffs last season, the Predators. So I don't think it's a given in that division that they're going to be back in the playoffs. We'll see.
Yeah, the Preds are an interesting one. You know, Chicago, everybody's excited bringing Brandon Saad back, who was an excellent 5-on-5 player, no doubt. I think he had 55-on-5 points last year for Columbus and only 3 on the power play. Panarin, though, a highly, highly skilled player. And you wonder when their defense maybe after a while. Like, it's tough to stay at the top for as long as they have, and eventually somebody's going to have to fall down, you would think, between Anaheim, San Jose, Chicago, because those teams have pretty much dominated the West for over a decade.
Yeah, and if you add minutes for Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook because Nicklas Hjalmarsson's not there, you know, I don't know that that's a great idea at the stage of their careers that Keith and Seabrook are. So I think the Blackhawks have some challenges, but like I said, you know, I'm going to have to see it before I take them out of my playoff grouping.
Dan, always great to catch up with you. The season unofficially begins next weekend with the rookie tournaments. Is Anaheim in San Jose this year?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
The Ducks and Sharks have a pretty good relationship there. You know, the general managers, obviously, Bob Murray and Doug Wilson, former teammates, former D partners with the Blackhawks. So that, I think, is kind of a staple come rookie camp time.
Well, enjoy that. And then the preseason gets going in 17 days. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks for your time.
Looking forward to it, Jason. Thanks for having me, as always.
You betcha. Dan Wood, analyst for the Anaheim Ducks.